If you're just tuning in, this is Kenai Conversation. I'm Sabine Pooks, and we're here with Marty Pepper of Readout Keller Williams Realty in Soldotna. We can take your questions in the second part of the hour if you want to call in. Our number is 283-8414. Again, 283-8414. You can also send us an emailed question at spoux@kdll.org. That's spoux@kdll.org. So, Marty, we said before that we talk a little bit about the rental situation. What is the rental? I know this isn't the kind of the area you specialize in, but right. I'm sure you have kind of a sense of what things are looking like rental-wise. Give us a little bit of a snapshot of that.
So, in the past, if sales were up, which right now sales are up, then rentals would be down because people are buying more than they're renting. And then vice versa, if sales were down, then rentals would be up. And this is the first time where I've seen where it's hard to buy and it's hard to rent. So it seems that we kind of have a housing issue on both sides.
That's really interesting. Is that happening for the same sort of reasons that you think the seller's market is the way that it is?
You know, I really honestly have to say I don't understand the rental market. Hmm. Because, and once again, it's, if you are an active full-time agent, you're so busy right now, you can't do the normal stuff that we do, like following stats and that kind of stuff. So I haven't had a lot of time to do research on, I don't know what the numbers are, say, for Alaska, volume of people in Alaska, mm-hmm. comparatively to 2 years ago. So I don't really have a good feel for, is there just a lot more people coming? But this is a problem nationwide. So right. I think a little bit of the rental issues might have to do with some of the regulations that came out during COVID on landlords and stuff. But I don't really have a clear picture on that. Mm. I just know it's difficult to find one now.
In terms of property, buying and selling property, do the trends kind of seem to be similar in terms of people buying houses or condos or apartments versus kind of buying an open piece of property that they can build upon?
So that's another interesting thing that's happening right now. Though the cool thing about the office I work in is we have an agent in there that does just land.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So most agents, we dabble in land. There's very few agents that just do primarily land. So I've got a fairly good feel on land. And what's happening with land is inventory's low and sales are up, just like homes. And this particular agent, it's Dale Bagley, who was one of the owners of Readout. He's never been so busy selling land. And it started early. You know, land sales usually pick up in the spring, early spring, you know, people planning to build, and then they die down. Well, they've not died down. And he says there's like half the listings as there was 2 years ago. And a lot more sales. I don't have a good number on this number of sales, but a lot more sales.
That's interesting.
I do have, let me see what I have here for. The average price of land has only gone up about from the average lot in 2020 was $39,000 for sales, and it's gone up to $59,000. So that's quite a bit. And, you know, so that's average. So there's half of them are a lot higher than that, and half of them are lower. And then the volume, active inventory, if you look at that for May, so in 2020... In 2019, there was 1,182 active land listings in May, and this May, there's 778 and more sales. Mm. So, and I think that is for two reasons. One, people can't find a house, so they got to build. And even with construction prices being so high, people are still building. Mm. And there's projects going on all over the peninsula. Matter of fact, when I leave here, I'm going to go drive by a couple of them. Mm. So,
have those high construction prices impacted your work at all?
Yes, because Yeah, it has. It's affected people, you know, when they're asked to say, you know, they're selling a house and the deck needs replaced. And the seller's like, replace the deck? Have you seen the cost of lumber? Mm. You know, they're not really wanting to do those things. But and the handymen are so busy, and the contractors, that's just crazy too. I mean, getting contractors right now is really difficult, whether you're doing renovations or building.
Mm. Speaking of kind of renovations, you know, it seems pretty rare for someone nowadays to buy a forever home. You know, if you're not 100% kind of settled in your life, or you're in a different life stage, you still want to buy a home. What should you keep in mind if you plan to sell down the road in terms of renovations or you know, or a location, and kind of how you think about the value of that property after you've lived in it, if that makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And so when I'm showing houses to a buyer, and, you know, they always want to know what I think about the house, and you know, I'm not going to live in the house, so it doesn't matter if I like the house. So I only have one way to look at it, and that is, when you come to me, can I sell it for you in 5 years? And that's kind of the time frame I put on it. It's best when you buy a house to think, okay, I'm going to live here at least 5 years. And so what I tell those buyers is, when you go to sell this house, don't forget why you bought it. So a lot of times someone will buy a house because, guess what, they could afford it. And maybe the neighborhood wasn't the perfect neighborhood for them. And maybe it wasn't the perfect house. Maybe it had a few things that were odd about it. But those things kept the price down. And that's why they bought it. So you don't want to buy a house in a neighborhood that kept the price down, and then do a whole bunch of renovations and make it a really expensive house, and then try to sell it at a higher rate than that neighborhood will support.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's another good piece of advice. Remember why you bought the house.
Exactly. And maybe the reason you bought the house is because it was in this neighborhood where there's lots of expensive homes, or because it had access to the beach or whatever. But remember why you bought it, because the next person's going to have a why.
Mm.
And so, and doing renovations, yeah, you should, you know, put in some sweat equity, and then kitchens and baths, those are always safe.
Mm. You mentioned access to the beach, and this is going to maybe show my greenness to this whole real estate market a little bit, but what are some of the things that people really seem to value kind of geographically or locationally here? I mean, we obviously have this incredible beach right here. We have the river, we have mountains not too far away. What are the things that tend to drive the price of a property up?
So what affects the price of your property, and I've said this before, and this has never changed in the 20 plus years I've been doing this, is location, condition, and the market. And so your location's really important. And so, you know, you'll have those people that'll come to Alaska and they'll say, I want privacy. I want something kind of Alaskan looking. I'd love to have a view or access to water, but I want to be close to town. That's the one we hear the most. And it's like, I don't want to see my neighbors, but I only want to be 15 minutes from town. Or, and then you have those people that say, I want to be in town. You know, the in-town houses in Kenai and Soldotna, those houses sell very well.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are like, they have a little bit of Alaskan style to them. A lot of people think they want a log house when they come here. And then after they look at homes and they see, we don't always have a lot of log houses available to show people, they end up, you know, with something maybe cedar-sided. But those Alaskan-looking homes are very popular.
Mm.
But people still want them to have the, you know, master bedrooms and nice kitchen. And then some of our Alaskan homes, people built them a long time ago, and they built them out of pocket.
Mm.
And they don't have all of those niceties that people are used to when they come here from the lower 48.
Mm. That's really interesting. It sounds like you're kind of saying people want to have, you know, the amenities of a nice modern home, but they also want a little bit of the rustic feel that Alaska is known for.
Right, right.
So how do you strike that balance?
Well, when I meet with a new buyer, they give me their list of wants, and then I try to find a little handful of homes that addresses most of those. And people, they'll say they want certain things, but until you start walking through with them, you don't realize where the most important things are. Mm-hmm. And that varies. Mm-hmm. You know, the most important thing for one is like, oh, it turns out the most important thing for these guys is the kitchen. The most important for these people is the garage. Mm-hmm. The most important thing for these people is they want to have easy access to trails and things, because they're not going to spend much time in the house. They're going to be outside more.
Mm-hmm. Do you watch a lot of real estate reality shows on TV?
I do not. For two reasons. One is I don't watch much TV. I don't want to sound like I don't watch TV. I watch brain-numbing series to sleep through, right? But as far as we don't really subscribe to most of those channels that sure. have that stuff. Sure. But when I do see them, it just, to me, it gives people unrealistic ideas of what this business is like.
Sure. I just thought of it because the way you were talking about that, you know, on those shows it always seems there's someone who goes through and is lamenting the paint color of one of the rooms, and that's just an absolute deal breaker for them. And I always thought that was really funny, and I wonder if there's a little bit of that.
There's a tiny bit where, but that's also where it's good to have your agent that will talk you through things. Like if they Definitely. Come in and say that they don't like, it's just the flooring that they don't like, then you say, well, if you love everything else, flooring's pretty easy to change. What's not changeable is your location. Mm. So your location, in my opinion, is the most important, and then your guts of the house. But it's different for some people are going in and they're spending every penny they have, so they need that house to fit their needs as is. Mm. And then there's other people that are like, you know what, we just really need it to have the structure we need and the location we need and everything else we can go in and change. Mm. So there's different buyers.
What neighborhoods here have kind of become more popular in your time as an agent, or has it been pretty consistent?
It actually changes. You know, when we had that, I should have wrote my timelines down so I could be intelligent about this, but you know, when we had the 2007 around in there, when the real estate market got so tricky, and that was more in the lower 48 than here, but it did affect us. And then our gas prices got pretty high, and because of what was going on in the lower 48 and the gas prices and people losing money in the stock market, our outlying homes, like Cassie Loft, far end of Sterling, out further north Kenai, those sales got really tight. Hmm. And people didn't want to drive because of the cost of gas. So people moved back into town. And
that's really interesting.
It is interesting. And then with what happened with COVID, people are moving back out. And people are investing in the second homes out in those outlying areas. We saw a real slowdown in recreational homes in down south specifically, you know, towards Homer. And those homes almost stopped selling. And then about, I'm guessing, 4-ish years ago, they started picking up already. And then with COVID, they picked up substantially.
Hmm.
And I think that's a nationwide thing. You know, people move in because they wanted, and this is I don't know if it's a millennial. Who's after the millennials?
Gen Z.
So it might be the Gen Z or the tail end of, or the, you know, tail end of mm-hmm. the millennials that wanted the centers, the community centers where they could walk and mm-hmm. do the things and were living closer to the, making a community out of where they lived mm-hmm. rather than their own private backyard stuff, mm-hmm. you know, more going to the, I don't want to say front yard, but more of that community thing. That was a trend.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that trend is still there a bit, but with COVID, people pulled back a little bit.
Mm. That's so, I'm fascinated by what you're saying about the different generations and kind of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're getting too far away from the original point here, but I need to ask you about this. So you obviously meet a lot of people who are moving here, and you part of your job is to kind of talk through what these people want when they come here. Do you think that kind of the reasons people are moving here or moving to the peninsula are different than they were years ago? Like, do you see kind of a new ethos about wanting to live in Alaska or live on the peninsula that is generationally distinct? Does that make sense?
Yes, like, that's a big question. I have a really good answer to that.
Okay, awesome.
So overall, we're still seeing real similar trends in different age groups, and we could go into that forever. But the one that I think is going to interest you the most is, and you see it because of what you do and because of your generation, and this excites me the most, makes me want to stay here forever, is the younger people that are doing their own businesses. Seeing a lot of that. And so those people, they're not leaving Alaska. They're building businesses here. And I have some real favorite ones, you know, Odie's and Maggie's and Lucy's and the Flats and all these little kind of, I feel bad that I can't name them, but these little specialized shops, like clothing shops.
Sure. And
we never had those. You know, we had Kmart when I first moved here. And
so many entrepreneurs.
Yes. Yeah. And they're in that, I guess those are millennials.
I think so.
I think those are millennials. Yeah. And I'm so
The millennial cutoff, I think, is 1996. I think. So they're probably millennials.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of that generation for what they've done on the peninsula. They've made the peninsula fun. And they were the ones, in my opinion, that adapted the best to COVID. You know, their businesses did well because they're like, okay, I can adapt to that. And they did. And so I think that's really exciting.
So the people who are moving here or moving back here in a lot of those cases and starting their own businesses, what kind of real estate, you know, are do those folks tend to want to live close to town, like you were saying
they
before?
They do, because they have a business there. And so those, whereas maybe that generation that stayed in Alaska before would have wanted to be out a little more, but now they've got their businesses and they want to stay close to them.
Are there any kind of, you mentioned places that are kind of on the outskirts, like Kisilov or maybe Nikiski, are any of those places becoming, you know, do you see them becoming more popular and developing kind of more of a town center feel that's drawing people in, or do you think those places will always kind of be where people who want to live further from town go?
So we'll just use Nikiski for an example, because when I first got into real estate, I was living in Nikiski, and I sold, the majority of my sales were in Nikiski, and I have a strong base out there. Even though now I live in Kenai and I sell all over, but I started really strong in Nikiski. What makes people want to move to Nikiski is that you get a little more for your money. You can get a little more land. You can get a view. There's so many lakes out there.
So many lakes.
Right. So that hasn't changed. But because of the low inventory, people that were like, okay, I don't want to be as far out as that, they're like, but I will. Because there's not something closer in that works for me.
So you're saying that maybe people are going to be pushed out a little further and have to kind of expand their radius that they're willing to live in.
Because of inventory.
Interesting.
And Nikiski, so we'll say Nikiski, Kisilov, far end of Sterling. Those places have always had a good base.
Yeah.
Those homes, those properties have had a good base. People, that's just exactly where they want to be. But now, I think just because of inventory, people will like, they'll push their boundaries.
I think we should give a little bit more advice. So you were saying yesterday that more agents have been joining the market because of the way things are. First of all, can you talk a little bit about that? And second, do you have some advice for agents who are maybe just getting into the business?
Yes. So on the peninsula, and I looked these numbers up, but I didn't print them off, so I'm going to go from memory. On the peninsula, there's about 100 agents, maybe 105, 107.
This is the whole peninsula.
Yeah. Well, not counting Homer and Seward.
The central peninsula.
Central peninsula, okay. Yeah. And then we vary from like 70 to 100 agents. We go back and forth. And whenever the market's good and people hear all this hype, we get an influx of new agents. And usually there's a saying in real estate, and this hasn't changed in the whole time I've been in it, that 20% of the agents do 80% of the work. And it's true. Some of the new agents get in and they just kick butt. They get in and they listen to their mentors and they work really hard and they understand they're going to have to work full time. and they do it. A lot of them get in thinking that it's just going to come to them. And so my advice to new agents is put in the time, saddle yourself up with someone that's been in the business a while and listen to what they say. And then as far as representing your, a lot of times new agents work mostly with buyers. So if you're representing a buyer in this market, you need to make sure you get them pre-qualified ahead of time. Don't wait until they've found their dream home because they won't have time to make a competitive offer. Don't expect the listing agent to make sure that they get an appointment. Don't tell your buyer, well, I called them. They didn't call me back. Listing agents right now are getting slammed. If you call them and they don't call you back, call them again. Send them a text. Send them an email. Be persistent. And there's a lot more to writing an offer than just the price, because you can only go so high, because most people are not going to waive that appraisal. And if they are, they're not going to waive it by a lot.
Right.
So you're going to have a ceiling of the price you can offer. So you've got to know how to write a competitive offer that looks good other than the price.
I want to kind of go back to something we talked about earlier about technology and incorporating technology into your business. We talked about texting and calling. I know some real estate agents here who are on Instagram. That seems to be kind of a very prevalent, or, you know, they post about their listings on Instagram. They'll post on their Instagram stories that they've sold a house. That seems to be a big way they kind of get the word out. Do you use Instagram or Facebook? Are there any platforms you recommend or that you avoid?
So there are so many places that you can try to get your face.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. You know, you want to get your listings there, but there's plenty of places to find the listings.
Sure.
Where there's not plenty of places to find is the agent and what they're all about, so that you know to call that agent.
Well, and traditionally you think of someone on a bench or on the shopping cart, right?
Right?
Yeah. Like a very literal advertisement.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the best thing to do to get yourself known is to do what you do and do it well. So like if you're me, I have always supported public radio, so I try to be visible to this crowd of people. And then my children and my husband are musicians, so I make myself very visible to that crowd. And then I enjoy supporting the small businesses and that, so I make myself visible to that crowd.
You know your niches, kind of.
Yeah, and so you just need to be seen. And so if it's on Instagram, if it's on Facebook, if it's, you know, going to the Wednesday market every Wednesday and you know, just make yourself seen and let them know that you're in the business. And that's the best you can do. And I have one line that I say, do what you do and do it well. And then people will see you and then they'll trust you, because you got to build the trust.
Do you get a lot of business from referrals?
I have a heavy referral base. Repeat clients, and my clients refer me. I also have a pretty big, I've spent a lot of time in Anchorage on different boards and doing things there. So I have a nice base there of referrals. So yeah.
Gotcha. We're talking a little bit about kind of who's buying. Have you worked with a lot of people who are kind of coming down from Anchorage? Does that seem to be a popular pipeline from Anchorage to here?
Yeah, Anchorage, we get quite a few, especially with the recreational properties. So a lot of the buyers of the land and recreational properties, they're people from Anchorage, Matsu, Fairbanks, and the lower 48. But a lot of Alaskans play on the peninsula. So,
absolutely. We only have a couple minutes, so just a couple more questions I want to address. Building codes. They're different in cities and outside the cities. Are there potential problems to be aware of when looking at homes in unincorporated areas, or, you know, a home in an unincorporated area that someone built or renovated themselves?
So that's always a consideration, and just the blanket answer is get a home inspection. But the other thing is, so we've got, you know, if you're in the city of Kenai or Soldotna, you've got zoning, and that protects you. If you're out in the borough, most of the borough is unzoned. There are a few of local option zones in the borough where the property owners in a certain subdivision have got together and actually zoned it. That's kind of interesting. If you want to go on the borough website and look at the local option zones, that's really interesting. it could take us all day to talk about that, but look that up if you're interested in those things. And then, yeah, just some homes that are built outside the city, they've had inspections while they're being built. Those are called ICBOs. That helps protect buyers. But your agent should be a wealth of information on how to protect you. So,
another question for people who are looking to buy is, how do you have any blanket advice for navigating a bidding war?
Well, I can't give you all my secrets because I want to keep winning.
Yes, exactly.
bidding wars are so stressful for everyone. And
are they fun at all too, or just pure stress?
You know,
do you get any adrenaline rush from it?
I will tell you, I would prefer to work in a market where there were not constant multiple offers, because the way I do business, the best sale is one where everybody's happy, where the seller got what they wanted, the buyer got what they wanted, and it goes smooth. So bidding wars are crazy with that. Just make sure you're pre-qualified and get your ducks in a row and write a strong offer. So, And don't think you're going to come in low and then put in your best offer. You got to put in your best offer going forward. Hmm. So right from the start.
Do you have any other advice in our last couple of minutes for folks who are looking to buy, or if you have any advice for sellers? We'll take all your advice, Marty.
Okay, just real quick. For sellers, if you're thinking of selling in the next year or two, call your favorite agent and talk to them about the sooner the better, because now is a great time to be a seller. It's important to get good advice. You can't list it way too high, because then your house gets shop worn. And in this market, if your house doesn't sell because you've listed it too high, people are going to think there's something wrong with it. So don't go too high. That's my advice for sellers. You don't want to leave any money on the table, but don't overreach. And then my advice for buyers is find an agent that you trust and stick with them, and let them know what you want and listen to their advice.
For people who are kind of interested in following the nuts and bolts of how this market is changing, are there any easy ways for people who aren't real estate agents to kind of keep track of the ways the market is going, or any websites or metrics in particular that you follow that you recommend?
Well, the best thing to do is to have an agent to check in with. I have clients that call me several times a year that aren't even, you know, active clients right now, just to see what the market's doing. It's hard to follow one site. I follow several sites, but I'm a member of them. And so it's hard just to be a member if you're not a licensee. But we should do something more often so people know.
Awesome. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I think it's an exciting time in real estate right now. And I love all the new technology. I try to keep up on it, and it's a challenge. But I think we're in very exciting times right now in this industry.
Well, Marty, thank you so much for being here. If people want to get in touch with you, do you have a website or something people can go to?
You can go to my Facebook page. My assistant just started a new business page for me.
It's very exciting.
Yes. And I've got a lot of followers on my regular Facebook page. So find me there. We'll be posting stuff on there about what's going on, and lots of opportunities for people. And calling and texting, my email, those are the easiest ways.
Awesome. Well, Marty, thank you so much for being here. It was lots of fun to have you. This was Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. We'll be right back.